Welcome to the Reigning in Life podcast with Pastor Mtor. Join Pastor Mtor, the esteemed founder and senior pastor of Intentional Church, as he transforms lives by the Word of God. Get ready to reign in life as you tune in and listen to the transformative teachings. Stay blessed and stay tuned.
Father, we bless you. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, revealing the Word to us, leading us and guiding us. We thank you that our lives are in eternal excellence. Our lives are moving from glory to glory, and we are reigning in life through Christ Jesus. Speak to us today. We thank you that we'll never be the same again. Father, we pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for the revelation of your Word. We pray that we may increase in revelation of you, our God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I greet you all in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. It's good to see all of you today for our second service. We're reigning in life. Hallelujah. Is there somebody who's reigning in life? And on these Wednesdays, we'll be exploring reigning in life through hearing the voice of God. Hallelujah. You cannot reign without the voice of God. You cannot reign without God speaking towards you. Amen. The reason why many Christians are victims is because they are ignorant of the Word of God. And today we want to just, I won't do a recap because the podcast is there. So you go on the podcast and listen to what we covered last week. Hallelujah. But most Christians claim they have a personal relationship, but they've never heard God speaking to them. So that means you don't have a personal relationship. It can't be personal if someone has to speak to the person on your behalf. It's not a personal relationship, okay? So this version of Christianity whereby you are expecting your pastor to hear God on your behalf, you're expecting prophets to hear God on your behalf, is not biblical. Yes, I can hear a word from you, but it should just be a confirmation, basically. You understand what I'm saying to you? It should be. I pray that this year, may you come for service and everything that is preached on the pulpit be what God was telling you in your quiet time. You understand? I remember that's how I came up in the things of God. That's how I grew up in the things of God. That God will tell me before the service what they're going to preach about. You understand what I'm saying to you? So when I would pray and I'd come and I'd know they're going to use these verses in this manner, and I already had church at home, you see. Now we need to be that aligned and attuned to the voice of God. Hallelujah. You see, for me it was not a surprise to hear God at home, and I know exactly what they were going to preach at church. It was the norm. Hallelujah. But I know that if you were to know what I'm preaching today, you'd be so surprised that you heard God. Why are you surprised to hear your father? Why are you surprised to hear God if it is a personal relationship? You know, the fact that we say it's personal means that you have a one-on-one type of interaction. That's what makes it personal. Once there's no one-on-one interaction, then it's no longer personal. Hallelujah. So I pray for you that this year, may your relationship with God really be a personal relationship with God. Don't just want a mass Christianity, want a personal relationship with God. Desire a personal relationship with God. And that means primarily desire to hear God speaking to you. Okay, he won't speak to you if you don't desire it. Amen. You understand? In the things of God, the Bible says, blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled. Amen. It's when you are hungry to hear, then you hear God. Amen. If you're not hungry to hear his voice, you will not hear his voice. You understand? And if you can't hear his voice, then it brings to question an important part of your Christian experience. Because he has said, my sheep hear my voice. Okay? My sheep hear my voice. And I lead them. And I guide them. And I go before them. So if you can't hear his voice, who is leading you? Who is guiding you? Who is going before? You understand what I'm saying to you? That is why the lives of many Christians are falling apart, because they are leading themselves into things where God is not leading them. You understand? Because they do not hear his voice. Okay, and I want to tell you, no matter how messy your life can be right now, if you can hear the voice of God will lead you out of that mess, will lead you out of debt, will lead you out of confusion, and bring you to still waters where you can enjoy the best of God in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we cannot do anything. We can't go forward without the voice of God. We are dependent on the voice of God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I'm dependent on the voice of God. Yeah, so we need to desire to hear, and we need to, you know, if you just listen to these teachings and you just end here at church, I promise you, your Christian life will be the same. This, you are not going to change, but you need to be studious. You take this, you go home, you look at the recommended books of the month, you get them, they're available, all of them available online, and you go on Amazon, you get the Kindle version, whatever, wherever you get your books. You download, you sit down, and you begin to read, and you begin to study, and you begin to, you understand what I'm saying to you? Now you are a growing Christian, because you're not just hearers only deceiving yourself, but you're now a doer, now a student of the word of God. You know, the same way that as children are born with ability to hear and ability to speak, but they still need to be trained. When you are born again, you have the ability to hear God, but you still need to be trained in it. That's why the Bible is there. That's why the resources are there. Hallelujah. To train you to hear the voice of God. So it's very, very important. It's very critical for you to make up a quality decision that I am going to hear the voice of God for my life, for my sake. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm going to hear the voice of God. I'm going to hear. I'm not going forward because of what's convenient. I'm going forward because of the voice of God. And the voice of God can lead you to do easy things. It can lead you to do difficult things. It can also lead you to do unfamiliar things, where you find yourself doing what is not familiar, but that's the voice of God. It was not familiar for Abraham to leave a family at 75 and start a new journey. But you see, because he heard the voice of God. Hallelujah, somebody. I see God bringing you into unfamiliar territory by his voice in Jesus' name. When you find yourself in an unfamiliar industry, when you find yourself in an unfamiliar industry, do not fear and look at your lack of credentials, says God, because his voice is going to guide you into what you should do. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that is to say, God is not going to lead you only to what you're qualified for. God will lead you to things you're not qualified for, but as long as his voice is there, he will guide you. Remember, David says in 1 Chronicles chapter 26, he says that it is God who showed me these things. When we talk about how the temple should be built, David wasn't a priest. David wasn't working in the temple, in the tabernacle, you understand? But God showed him how to do the temple, how to get the Levites, how to do everything. That is the voice of God. Hallelujah. And I see God leading you in strategic enterprises in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, a man's life, your success in life as a man or as a woman, is dependent on the habits that you develop. Okay, on the habits that you have. Now, a person with a good heart, with good motives, good intentions, but with poor habits will produce poor outcomes. Okay, habits will defeat you more than your intentions. Your habits determine your success in life, right? Good or bad, or your failure in life, all right? Now, most Christians do not pay attention to cultivating good habits. They just are on autopilot when it comes to habits. And since it's the beginning of the year, it's a good time for you to decide, to identify and decide areas in your life where you might need two or three good habits that you just want to cultivate this year. You understand what I'm saying to you? Since the, you know, beginning of the year, everybody starts there. I want to go to the gym. I want to lose weight. I want to do New Year's resolutions. I want to lose weight. I want to do everything, right? Because it's the beginning of the year, so we tell ourselves that this is the best time to start. Well, it's also the best time for you to start a good habit. Hallelujah. And the habit I want to talk about today is the habit of hearing God every day. Okay? It's a habit to hear God every day. Some people hear God once a year on the 31st, crossover service. They've heard God. That's it. They are on autopilot for the rest of the year. okay? And they wonder why things don't materialize, okay? You need to, as a Christian, you need, listen, if we remove the devil from your life, ne, but you don't build good habits, you will still have a bad life. Okay, so you need to take the issue of habit building seriously as a child of God, right? And I'm not here to say build a habit of going to the gym. That's you and your body goals. You understand what I'm saying to you? But I, as your pastor, I'm here to say you need to build a habit of hearing God. Hearing God as a lifestyle. You understand? So we want to talk about your daily quiet time. That's the habit you need to build. Someone said my daily quiet time. Yes. And on Friday, those who are here on Friday, I told you there's a difference between your quiet time and kingdom advancement. You understand? There's a difference between your quiet time and kingdom advancement. Let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. That we'll start from 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So Jesus is coming, you must welcome Jesus. Okay? You must what? Welcome. Say, I welcome you, Jesus. Yeah, so you welcome me every day in the morning when you wake up. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. You understand? Welcome him, acknowledge him. Right? And she had a sister called Mary. So we find two sisters, Martha and Mary. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat down at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verses 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we meet these two sisters, Sister Martha and Sister Mary. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Martha is involved in every department. You understand? Sister Martha is busy at church, busy serving the Lord, busy doing the work of the ministry, busy doing all kinds of things. You understand what I'm saying to you? And then we found another sister, Sister Mary. You understand? And Sister Mary, it seems like she just had one thing, to sit down at Jesus' feet and to hear him. Hallelujah. Now, if I was to ask on a general basis, who of these sisters is the most powerful sister, you would look Martha, because Martha is busy. Martha is sweating. Martha has a blog, has a vlog, has Instagram, TikTok. Martha is producing content for the Lord. You understand? She's very active. Okay? She's very, very active. You understand what I'm saying to you? But at a point in that being active, she missed the most important thing. She missed that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. One of the worst things we can ever do is to assume a service to God. You see, Jesus came into the house. Martha assumed Jesus was hungry. She assumed Jesus was hungry. I mean, there's also nothing wrong, because we also need to teach. We need you to be like Martha.
Yes.
Yeah, because you've been sitting you've been sitting for 3 years. You've been resting in peace. We need you to, when you have heard enough words, stand up now. Okay? Stand up now. Because now some of you say that, no, I don't need to be hospitable. Because, yeah, no. Everything has this proportion, right? But you see, Jesus was teaching. Jesus was speaking. So the Bible then gives us a priority that if the Lord is talking, then let's stop everything and hear the word of God.
Amen.
Let's stop everything and hear the word of God. Most Christians, they will tell you that, oh, praise and music, that's the time I like when we dance and shout at church. But when it's time for the word, they fall asleep. They switch off. That is wrong. The priority, right? And we're going to teach you this in context. Does that make sense? We're going to teach you. Because when you come to church, church exists for only three reasons. Church exists for three reasons. Right? How many reasons?
Three.
Number one is to pray to God. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Number two, to worship God. There's nothing about dancing there. To worship God. You see? To worship God, to give him praise, to adore him. You see, so some of you, when we're now singing those songs, you are great. You are kind. You are great. You're like, hey, it was boring today. We are not here to sing a Majivana song, a song that makes you dance. We're here to worship God. You understand? And the third part is to communicate the word of God. All right? That's the reason why Jesus built a church. Okay? For prayer, for worship, and for communicating the word of God. Now, if you want fellowship, because fellowship is part of Christianity, you go to sell. Okay, you go to
sell.
Sell is where we now do all of these things, yes, prayer, praise, worship, but now there's fellowship.
Oh, yes, sir.
That's why it's called the house fellowship. Does that make sense? Yeah, so this year we're really bringing balance in and correct perspectives into what we're doing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So like, oh, they're singing these English songs. It has nothing to do with English. It has everything to do with praising and worshiping God. Hallelujah. So now Martha is busy and she becomes frustrated. And Jesus says, Martha, you're worried about too many things. Tell your neighbor, say, you're worried about too many things. Okay? But one thing is needed. And one thing is to sit down at the feet of Jesus. The only thing that's needed is the daily quiet time. Now, I thank God he didn't say two things are needed. He said one thing is needed. My prayer for you is that even when you take up the ministry of serving God, right, may you take it out of revelation of the word of God. You understand? If Mary stood up to serve after she heard Jesus speaking, she'd have been serving out of revelation. Don't serve out of assumption. Don't serve, because some of us will serve according to natural capabilities. Like, I'm just taking this journey, right? We serve according to what we think we can do. So you look at yourself and what am I naturally good at? And you forget that you're serving a spiritual God who is not dependent on natural ability. Because it's not by power, it's not by might, but it is by the Spirit of God. So that is to say, anything that I have to serve God with, it's not going to be naturally dependent. That's why you find many pastors say that I was naturally shy. But when they answer that, it cannot be you. You understand? But you see, they had to depend on the Holy Spirit. Am I making sense? So one thing is needed. Someone say one thing is needed.
One thing is needed.
That is to hear the word of God. Okay, so how do we then begin to hear the word of God? By cultivating our daily quiet time. Okay. Our daily quiet time. So there's a time to be a Mary. There's a time to be a Martha. Okay? There's a time to be a Martha. So when we're praying kingdom advancement prayers, for example, we are Marthas. You understand? Serving God. But it must be, the foundation must be being a Mary. Sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? If you are just focused on serving God, you will miss the word of God, the voice of God. But if you're, and so that's why you see there's a balance. Don't just focus on sitting on me, I just come to church to hear the word of God. You are not correct. Because he comes and he says, if they obey and serve him, there's a place for serving God, where serving God pays. Hallelujah. Amen. But that serving God is secondary. The primary is hearing God. The foundation is sitting at his feet.
Amen.
And making up your mind that I must hear God speak to me. And can I tell you something?
Yes.
God wants to speak to you every day.
Yes.
You cannot say it's a personal relationship when you only speak once a year.
Yep.
Okay? It's a personal relationship because we speak every day. Every day we're talking to God. Hallelujah. And we're talking to God every day. Now, to hear God, you must value his voice. Okay, you must what? Someone say, I must value his voice. Have you noticed that we make time for what we value? Yeah, we make time for what we value. If you value soccer, you make time to be updated with all the soccer that's happening in the world. I don't value soccer, so I don't know what's happening in the world of soccer. So we all make time for what we value. Now, if you're saying that, but God is not talking to me, primarily it's a value system. You don't value his voice. Because if you value, you make time. The reason why I know you showered today is because you value looking good and looking presentable. You understand? You're going to make time to sleep tonight because you value your rest. You're going to make time to eat today. As busy as it was, you stopped to grab some food. Why? Because you value good nutrition and eating. Hello? So now, if you did not do your quiet time today, it's because you do not value hearing God. It's not about you are busy. All of us are busy. We are busy doing what we value.
We're busy pursuing what is of importance to us. When the voice of God becomes of importance to you, guess what? It's not an issue, it's not a disturbance for you to then make time, to find time for your daily quiet time. Hallelujah. Paul says that I count it all as dung. In other words, I value knowing God so much that I count everything as loss. You understand? It must, if it means that you won't watch series this year, don't watch series. Look, I don't even need to tell you don't watch series. Your value system tells you what to not do and what to do. Hello? What is important to you just tells you. You don't even need a pastor to preach. You see, so if you, that's what David could say, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God, because he valued God and the things of God. So when you value your God and hearing from him, you'll be glad when it's your daily quiet time. You'll be glad when whether the alarm or the time comes, you'll be excited. I was glad when it was my quiet time. I was glad when it was time for me to hear God. Does that make sense? Yeah, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of God, because you value it. When you now find a Christian who needs to be cranked to hear the voice of his father, he does not value that voice. He does not value that. All of us have 24 hours in a day. Those who have daily quiet time, you have 24 hours in a day, like those who don't have quiet time. Hallelujah. So it's not an issue of time. It's an issue of value. Please tell your neighbor, say, you must value God in order to hear God. Yeah, God will not come where he's not valued. He will not speak where his voice is not valued. Hallelujah. And it's not about, oh, pastor, but I have sinned. I'm a sinner. My life is a mess. When Adam and Eve sinned, they still had God. You see? So don't ever let the devil deceive you to say, oh, but you are such a naughty person. And no. In that state, God wants to speak a word to you. Yeah, because you are not going to come out by your own power. You need the word of God for you to break the power of sin over your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, so God speaks to us in every state if we only value it. Now, if you have gone over 1 week without the voice of God, it's because you do not value it. Yeah, you just don't value it. If you have gone over 1 month without hearing God, no, and I'm talking about God giving you a word. Remember last week's teaching? We don't fight without a word. Yeah. We've got the resources, but we won't fight without a word. We need a word from God. If you are here and you have never heard a word from God since this year began, it's because you do not value it. It's not because God is not talking. For example, if I have not watched a game of soccer this year, it's not because they are not playing. It's because I do not value it. All right. If I've not watched a movie since this year began, it's not because there are no movies to watch. It's because I do not value it.
Yes,
come on now.
Yes,
so the same with us. If we have not heard the voice of God this year as individuals, it's because we do not value it. But today, if we begin to change our attitude and you say that I want to value God, I value your voice, I value your word, God is going to talk to you.
Amen.
He's going to talk to you. Amen.
Amen.
How many of us have read newspapers since this year began? You see, no one. Because we don't value news. But there's someone who knows what's happening because it's of importance to them. So if you have not read your Bible this year, it's because you do not value God's voice. It's not important to you. It's not important to you. But I pray that may you value the voice of God in the name of Jesus. All right. So how do you begin this habit of a daily quiet time? Someone say daily quiet time.
Daily quiet time.
Yeah, and the quiet time is the secret of every great man and woman of God. That's their secret. Their secret is not what they do publicly in when the cameras and the lights are rolling. Their secret is what they do privately, because Jesus has said, the Father who sees you pray in secret will reward you openly.
Yeah.
Do not want open rewards without private habits. Don't want open rewards without private habits and disciplines. All right. So we're talking about the habit of a daily quiet time. Now, how do you start this habit of a daily quiet time? Number one, set a daily appointment with God. What must you do?
Set a daily appointment with God.
Some of you guys have appointments with people you don't like. You have set appointments with doctors, with lawyers. You have set appointments with everybody. You have appointments with your landlord, with all kinds of appointments. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Let's grab coffee sometime. You've grabbed coffee. You don't like coffee. You have grabbed coffee because of an appointment. Hallelujah. I think for me personally, the most, you know, the most gruesome thing you can ever say to me is, let's grab coffee sometime. Because that thing is like, and if I say yes, oh my Jesus, let's just grab it now. Because now I feel like, my God, I've made a promise. I've made a promise. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. So you set an appointment. All right. What must you do? Say, I must set an appointment. God does not come where he's not prepared for. Yeah, he doesn't come where you're not expecting him. He comes where you make preparation from. Let me ask you a question. How come is it that every time you come to church on Sunday, on Wednesday, wherever, you hear the word of God? How? Because we prepare for God. Saturday, people are cleaning the place up. You understand? People are preparing to sing and to worship, and everyone is preparing so that on Sunday, on Wednesday, on Friday, when we come, we hear the voice of God. You understand? So the reason you're not hearing the voice of God is because you're not preparing to hear the voice of God. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Lord said to Moses, right? The Lord said to Moses, today and tomorrow, you must prepare the people. Prepare the people for a special meeting. So you prepare yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Exodus 19 verses 10 and 11. You must prepare yourself. Prepare the people for a special meeting. They must wash their clothes and be ready for me on the third day. On the third day, the Lord will come down to Mount Sinai and all the people will see me. Like God is saying, guys, get ready. I'm coming. Okay, so that's the daily quiet time. God is saying, if you set an appointment, I will show up.
Amen.
Okay, if you set what? An appointment, I will show up. Prepare yourself and get the people ready. So you must set an appointment with God. What makes something an appointment? Let's look. If something is an appointment, number one, you select a time. Huh? If you have a doctor's appointment, you don't just say, on Monday, I've got a doctor's appointment. You say, on Monday at 10, I've got a doctor's appointment. You know the person, you select a time. So, for you to have a daily quiet time, select a time, Bazalwane. It's not any time you wake up. It's no longer an appointment. It calls for discipline, this one. We're talking about a habit, and this habit will change your life, change your finances, change your relationships, change it. It will just change everything about you. Select a time. What time are you going to meet God at? Okay? And can I just help you? Let it not be a time when you're struggling to sleep or struggling to wake up. No, let's talk. Why do you think God wants to meet you when you're just yawning the whole time, you're not even focused? And you're wishing that you're in bed. No, think about it. You're on a date with your wife or whatever, and the person, I just want to sleep. Oh, and if, would you enjoy talking to such a person? See, Jesus doesn't enjoy us as well because we put unrealistic time. You know that at 2 a.m. you want to be asleep. You are asleep. Why don't you sleep at 2 a.m. and wake up 30 or an hour early? When you know that you are fresh.
Amen.
Yeah. Who told you that struggle is part of blessing? You are struggling to stay awake so that you can also say, it's 2 a.m. I'm a watchman. Relax. Relax. As a watchman in this city. Mr. Watchman, watch out. Huh? Watch out. Select a time. Psalms 5 verses 3. The Bible says, in the morning you will hear my voice. Oh Lord, in the morning, I prepare a prayer, a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart. So David's daily quiet time was in the morning. Huh? Hey, please put it, I gave you the things last week already. All right? In the Amplified Classic, in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a prayer, a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart. When was David's quiet time?
In the morning.
Okay. So if you're not a morning person, I mean, though when we look in the Bible, most of them did their quiet time in the morning. I do not want to create a legalistic thing and say that all of us must have our quiet time in the morning. Some of us might not be morning people. We might be evening people. Hello? Yeah, you notice that when I've actually your day starts at 10 p.m. That's when you're most awake, most alert, most focused. So have your quiet time. It's not a daily morning time, it's a daily quiet time. Okay? Yeah. So you select a time. Ask your neighbor, what time is going to work for you? Yeah. Select a time. And don't just do a crazy time like half past one in the morning. If that is not you, it's not you. Don't fake it to sound spiritual. No. Select a genuine time where you know that you can be fresh, alert. I remember last week, I think I told you of a pastor who was having his quiet time at 7 a.m. in the McDonald's. Yeah. 7 a.m. he goes to a McDonald's. Okay, I don't know about that one, but... yeah, every morning, 7, he puts his earphones on, he's got his coffee, especially white people, they get their coffee and everything. Okay, cool. Hey, it's a personal relationship. Where do I fit in? You understand? For me, when I do my quiet time, there's no coffee, there's nothing, right? Yeah, that's fine. Someone has a personal relationship with God, and in theirs, they have coffee. You understand? Yeah, so what is the problem? You see, you don't have to do it the way I do mine, but you have to do yours. That's the balance. That I have to do mine. Okay? I have to do mine. Someone will tell that, oh, I do my quiet time, you know, when I'm jogging. I'm like, okay. I don't know. Because there are some things there I'll share with you. How does that work out? But have a time. Okay? Have a time. Work out your time. Work out your time. Work out your time. It shouldn't be an afterthought. It must. You know. I was reading. You should read Frequency by Robert Morris. Right. He shares a testimony where one day someone wanted to meet him. So he also has like a daily quiet time schedule. So he calls it my appointment with God. So someone was like, Pastor, let's meet at the bank because I'm transferring some money, heavy money, some millions. Let's meet at the bank at 8 a.m. or something like that. And he responded and said to him, I'm sorry, I can't meet you at that time because it's my appointment with God. This guy was a member from church. We had heard him talk about his daily appointment with God. And they shifted the appointment to the afternoon. And when they met and they were signing off the money, he was like, oh, I didn't really know that. That's how important this is. That you are willing to say, I'm not coming for money and miss my appointment. If it was some of us who said, Jehovah, yeah, because it was some millions of dollars which they then used for the building of their next church building. They did it cash because of what this one offering that they got. Think about it. We're in the process of moving, right? And someone's like, Pastor, let's meet at the bank. I want to just give you some good 10 million rands so that you can just whatever you're doing. If you were the pastor, you would do your quiet time as you go, and you're just saying, thank you, Jesus. No. It must be non-negotiable. No, do you negotiate your appointment with your doctor? You have an appointment with the lawyers. Do you negotiate the time? Yeah, it's casting. So you must be that disciplined with your daily quiet time. If there's people in your house, you tell them, guys, excuse me, it's time for my quiet time. And you go and you have quiet time. Amen. Stop impressing people and disappointing God. If you miss your daily appointment with God, your life will end up as a disappointment. I kid you not. Let it be a serious appointment. If you say my quiet time is at 9 p.m., at 9 p.m., others could be setting time to eat. You are going out to the parking lot, to your car, wherever you are going. You understand what I'm saying to you? And say, Lord, it's our time now. Does that make sense? It's very important for you to be this intentional. This intentional. No one should be able to negotiate your daily appointment with God. No one should. If anyone can negotiate your daily appointment, they're negotiating with your source of power, your source of joy. They're negotiating with you. It's like the heartbeat. They're joking with your heart. You see. So, select a time. Number two, select a place. Okay? Select a place. So you don't just do quiet time everywhere. You wake up late and then say, like, Lord, as we go in this Uber, my quiet time. No, select a place. All right. Mark 1:35. Right? Jesus got up very early the next morning while it was still dark. He went to a place where he could be alone. He prayed there. Select a place where you can be alone. Huh? I remember when I was growing up, and I remember because I was sharing a bedroom at a point at home. I used to do my quiet time in the bathroom from 9 until 11 because there was no one using the bathroom. No one is showering. No, so I would be there 2 hours in just, you know what I'm saying to you? Yes. Yes. I remember I did some powerful revelations there. And I said, for a powerful time of my life, every day in the bathroom, Lord, it's me and you. Does that make sense? Select a place where you could not meet God. It can't be under the, in the bed. You're not serious. You're not serious. I mean, I meet God in bed. Because no, you'll be serious. Be very serious. Yeah. You want to go back to sleep. No. You see, you're not serious, huh? Okay. Select a place. Where do I meet God? Yeah. You can go out and sit in the car and just have your quiet time there. You have a place. Maybe in your house you have a favorite chair where you sit down to hear God. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, you must have a daily quiet time. You can designate a place. You can designate a room. You can designate somewhere. You understand? I thank God I have a room now for my daily quiet time. I'm still making it nice. I have a room now where, like, when I enter here, it's just me and God. Here I'm not meeting. I'm not doing any. I'm not preparing any sermon. I'm not doing anything. This is a room for me. Is it not amazing? You buy a house and the first thing you think about is where your bedroom will be. You buy a house and the first thing you think about is where your kitchen room will be. You buy a house and you think about where your lounge room will be. And when all is said and done, you forget about where is your room with God going to be. And you wonder why it's like God is trying to force matters. I want to challenge some of you here. Yeah? Can I challenge someone? Move to a 3-bedroom house and dedicate one room, which you're going to say, this is our room for prayer and Bible study. Yeah. That extra room, just that you have an extra room where no visitors stay here. This is a room just for me to pray, to read my Bible, to just become serious this year. And watch, before you notice it, your income would have increased beyond. Yeah. Yeah. Your income would have increased beyond. You've got a room for every, the visitors have a room. God, there's no room in your house. And then you wonder why they're chasing you at night. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Yeah. Just think about what I'm saying. Okay? Don't just go and do it. Think about what I'm saying. Yeah. Process it and hear God. Yes. It's one of the most, it's one of the sweetest things that I enjoy. Whenever I make room for God, God fills up the margin. Yeah. Whenever I make room for God, God fills up the margin. Yeah. I remember there was a time when I was staying in one room house. And then I was like, God, this, my table is the quiet time. Then I'm like, Lord, now increase me. The next house I have, they must have a room for you. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yes. Now it's no longer even a discussion point. The first room that I inspect is where will be the room with God. Because that room guides and drives everything else. Your bedroom is very beautiful. What about God's room? Pastor, I didn't know God should have a room in my house. Imagine. Okay? So you select a place. Jesus woke up early and went to a place where he could have some privacy. Now look, it's a private relationship. It's a personal relationship, ne? Yeah. It's a personal relationship. Just try. Listen to me. Make room for God and see what God will do. Yeah. I'll put you in front. In front of my melody. You are all that matter. Huh? I'll make room for two. You and I, G. Yeah, so make room for two. Okay, if you're still staying in one room, dedicate a corner of the room to Jesus. You don't put your laundry there. You don't put your shoes there. Just dedicate that. This is the corner where I grab my chair. And if, just get a chair. This chair, when I'm sitting on this chair, is my time with Jesus Christ. So you have built like a space. Does that make sense? If you're sharing room with someone, maybe under the bed, I do not know. Select a place. Yeah. Find a place When you want to see your beloved, you find a place. Yeah. 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 You find a place. There could be people in the house, you don't care. You whether it's the balcony, some of you have beautiful houses, you have balconies. Go to the balcony. And I said, Lord, this is the place that I have now. And I pray, and you make a commitment. We want to make a nice room for you, Jesus. Yeah. For me, a room for God is number one in my house. Yeah, it's number one, number one. It's non-negotiable. Yeah, it's number one. It's number one. Because everything I am and I have comes from that room. It's what he tells me in that room that changes everything. So why should I joke with the most important room? Does that make sense? So select a place. Jesus woke up every morning and he went to a place. And I am so strict about it. Even if visitors come, they won't stay in that room because it's occupied. God stays here. So Pastor, what do you do? Put them in a hotel. They should book somewhere else, but God is here. I'm sorry. Go to the lounge. I don't mind. That room, you don't sleep there. You don't enter there. It's not your room, that one. It's not even up for visitors, that one. It's not even a discussion point. Hello? Amen. It's not even what? I remember I tried to accommodate some people, should be some few years ago, you know, and I tried to accommodate them, and I was like, it's fine. And then I took out that room, and hey, things just started tanking like this. I was like, I vow never, I don't mind who you are. Sleep in the lounge, sir. Book a hotel if need be. I'm not joking with this room. Yes, I'm not joking with this room. My daily quiet time room is for me and God. It's not for us. It's not another. Whatever happens, I don't joke with it. Yes, so create your own place. Okay? Create your own place. Yeah, you've got a time, you've got a place. Yeah. Then when you select the place, what do you do? So that's an appointment, right? There must be a time, there must be a place. What do you do now when you kickstart your quiet time? Be still and worship. Okay, so now how do you have your daily quiet time? Be still and worship. Start it off with worship. Psalm 46 verses 10. Surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations and I'm exalted throughout the whole earth. So you worship. Why do you worship? Worship brings your mind together. You notice that sometimes you could be thinking about several other things, but once you begin to sing to the Lord, your mind comes together. It focuses your mind. Okay? So be still. So how do you start your daily quiet time? You start at number one. Now that I've got my place, I've got my time, when I get there, I'm still, I just forget and relax about everything, and then I just begin to worship. Now, you can play some worship music and sing along. Now, very important note, album music is not worshiping for you. Okay, so you don't just play a song and you let the song and then you think the song is worshiping. No. You must do the praising and the worshiping. So play a song, play instrumentals, let them set the mood, but you sing along. One of the things that can help you so that you don't waste time is have pre-selected playlists. Okay, have what? So let's say you know that your quiet time is normally 1 hour. Select some songs for an hour. Okay, you know that, okay, if you're feeling like praising or you're sensing your heart praise, then this is the praise list that you do, okay? If you feel like in your heart is more worship, because some days when you talk to God, you are so excited. Some days you notice you are more calmer. Yeah, so you put more worship on that state. Does that make sense? Okay, so, and I'm not talking about songs like, you be my desire, da 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 da, from January to December. That is not praise songs. That's Christian entertainment. That's Christian what? Yeah, that's Christian entertainment. So praise songs, you put song. It's the lyrical content that we look at. Does lyrical content, does this praise God? Does this exalt God? Listen, praise is not exalting you. There's nothing about you in praise. There's nothing about you in worship. Okay? So that's what I said. You know that this is a... You know that that's just you. But when you then are... When you are praising God, you understand? When you get songs, look at the lyrical content. You see, that's why I would recommend for everybody here, Love World Singers. Because that's what we are singing as a church. Yeah, so that one, that's what we're singing. as a church. You see, so might as well just get along with the program. You see, just go there, get some songs, become familiar, praise God, we worship. Yes, there are other people who write good, lyrically correct songs, right? Yeah, you choose your own playlist, vernacular, whatever. It is, you see, it's not that it's English that makes it worship or praise. It's the lyrical content, okay? There's some vernacular songs that have powerful lyrical content. It's ascribing praise and glory and honor to God. Hallelujah. So be still and worship. So the Bible says, be still. So that verse simply says, be still and know that I am God. So this is how you start your quiet time. You calm yourself down, be still and know that it's God, and you worship him. Hallelujah. Psalm 22 verses 3. You sit as the Holy One. The praises of Israel are your throne. So your worship is setting a chair for God to come into the meeting, for God to come into the appointment. Does that make sense? So now, don't forget that you have put a place where you will sit down. Yeah? Where you will sit down. Now, where is God going to sit down? You see? Now, God doesn't sit down on material chairs. When you are praising him, oh, I bless you, Lord. I honor you. I worship you. And it doesn't even have to be songs at times. Sometimes you just adore him. You just praise him with your words and just minister goodness to him, right? As you are doing that, in the realm of the spirit, he's moving his chair towards you. God cannot come to a place where he has not been invited by praise. Okay? He doesn't come. Enter his presence with thanksgiving and praise. So you enter. Until you praise, you have not started quiet time. Okay? It's like when you maybe a husband and you want to ask a special, special favor from your wife. You said, oh, my baby, oh, my sweetheart, what do you want? Yeah, you know that he wants something. Huh? So it's the same. You sing praises to God. It's like you husbands, if your wife starts coming, so that, you know, and I are the best husband in the world. Just know that there's something. You know, there's no man like you in all the earth. There's no one like you, baby. You know that. What's your problem? What is the thing? What's the issue? Like, you know, 2 minutes later, you know, baby, 5,000 for me won't be a bad issue, right? And I knew that you wanted money. You see? And now you're smiling. Imagine they're asking you for money and they're smiling. When others ask you for money, now what? Money. You'll never see it. You understand? What's the difference? Someone approached with thanksgiving. I've given you ladies a tip for life. Yeah. Go to that husband of yours and say, you know, you're the sweetest man I've ever seen. You know, you are the most amazing man. Look, if husband was a person, you are the person. You know, so that, what do you want? No, I want nothing. I just wanted to say I appreciate you from the depth of my heart. You know, I'm Mrs. I'm loved. You know, and okay. I'm busy. But his heart is big now. He will go out of his way to you. Look, what is it that my wife needs? You see, if you are a wife and you're always asking, and you don't get what you're asking for, is because you do not place praise for your husband. Yeah. Yeah. You just go said, baby, you must do this. No. And you know, when your husband now shows you that he doesn't have to do anything, like, no, I don't have to. Not today. You understand what I'm saying? And then, like, Pastor, I don't understand this husband of mine. Try what I'm telling you. Don't forget the husband of yours was made in the image of God. So if praise can set a throne for God, and this is the image of God, then praise will set a throne. And when he feels enthroned, it's his responsibility. You don't even have to say anything after. That's why you notice that those who really praise and worship God don't have prayer points. Yeah, because God takes care of his worshipers. You can't wake up every day and you worship him. David didn't ask to be a king. God was like, I'm just gonna, what can I do for this guy? I have found me a man after my heart. Okay? Yeah, he didn't pray. It was not on 7 days fasting, beginning of the year. I declare, I shall, because it's not a prayer that's gonna be answered.
Yeah.
But when he just said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was just blessing. God was like, this is the guy. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
Yeah. So if you are to reign as a king, worship the King of Kings. adore him. I bless you. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, that don't let Spotify lead the praise and worship. The blessings will go to Spotify. Don't let YouTube music lead the praise and worship. The blessings will go to YouTube, right? Yeah, let them help you, aid you. You know, like how we can play a backtrack to help us sing? Let them aid you, but the worship must come from your heart. You see, praise and thanksgiving is not about the quality of your voice. It's about knowing that I must worship my God. So you start and you are praising him and you are worshiping him. Hallelujah. So you play some music as well. So Psalms 100 verses 2 to 4. Be happy as you serve the Lord. Come before him with happy songs. You don't just go say, Gulungile. Hey, Baba. You know that song? Yeah. It says come with happy songs. You're not singing songs like, come on, guys. Who's Satan? Who jump on my fence? I'm a cringer. Oh, guys, it's been a while. Come on, give me some of the songs that you think. Give me some songs. I definitely know that one. Come on. What are some of the songs? Let's teach. What are some of the songs you think might not be the best to sing? I don't know the song. What does it say? Oh, those songs that make you feel like you're unworthy. Sweet by and by. I know that I'm not the best. Uh-huh. But I am trying. Imagine you come to your father, like, I know I'm not the best, but I'm trying. You see, so that's a wrong song. Do you know why? It's focusing on you, not God. We are entering his presence. So for praise, it must focus on him. It's not about you now. When we sing, it's not about you. So avoid songs that bring the attention to you. You see, that's self-righteousness. You're in God's presence, but you're talking about how you're not the best. What about what Jesus has done? Focus on what Jesus has done. You understand? So some good songs, I mean hill songs, the older songs, the first songs are very good. Hill songs, even some joyous old songs. You know, spirit versus spirit, worship house, spirit of praise. You find the songs that work with you, right? Yeah, I remember a song coming to my mind is thank you for the cross, Lord. That's a good song. You see, entering his gates, thank you for the price you paid, washing all my sin and shame. You see, so you're talking about, but you see, in a relevant way, thank you, Lord. You're thinking, worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. Does that make sense? So you're thanking him. You're entering his presence now. Now, this can depend according to how. So, first of all, you set the total time for your quiet time. 30 minutes, an hour, whatever. However God likes you. You see, like however. 20 minutes, 1 hour, 10 minutes. You see. But I'll also encourage you, as and when, have longer quiet time. Just to minister to God. You just worship him. Hallelujah. So, you've sung your worship. You've sung your praise. Could be a couple of songs. It could be one or two, whatever. Then, that's it. Then, the next thing that you do. So the next thing that you do after you've done the praise and worship, the next thing that you do is to pray. Okay, is to what?
Pray.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, right? So pray, right? Pray. So quiet time and kingdom advancement are two different things. Now, what do you pray about at this point? Whatever is on your heart. Do you know that it's difficult to hear God if you have an anxious mind? You see? So then prayer removes the anxiety. Okay, so you worship him. Pray about whatever is on your mind. If it's your marriage, if it's your future, whatever is on your heart, pray about it. Bring it to God. Bring it to God. And you'll notice after 20 minutes of just talking to God about it, right? Your heart should be free. If you've prayed about it for about 20 minutes and your heart is not free, you are complaining, not praying. There's a difference. Yeah, because God is not there to listen to your complaints. Right? So you pray about, Father, I'm praying about my children. I'm praying about my family. I'm praying about this. We pray your blessing. You pray whatever concerns them. And you're praying and you're ministering to God and you pray. Right? Yeah, are we good on prayer? I don't have to go deep on prayer. So you pray, right? And then after you're done with your prayer time, so it could be 30 minutes, it could be 40 minutes. This is you praying about whatever is on your heart, right? Then when you're done, you read your Bible. You must what? Look, it's daily quiet time. So you have told God. Now it's time for God to talk to you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. The Bible says, now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle. Read the Bible. Basically, read the Bible. Psalms 1, verses 1 and 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, is like a seed. Read the Bible, okay? This is now time you read your Bible, so you can follow different things here. Other people do, for example, I do a certain number of verses every day, a certain number of chapters every day, rather. You understand? So I sit down, I read a certain number of chapters. Other people do, what's this, the Bible reading plan to complete your Bible in a year, right? There's that. Others do topical studies. Maybe I'm studying the life of Samson. I'm studying the life of Solomon. Maybe I'm studying the life of, you understand, topical studies. Or maybe I'm studying faith or whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying to you? All right, so there's that. So, but I would want to encourage you, as your pastor, start in the New Testament. Okay, start in the New Testament, especially from Romans. Start there. Read what Paul wrote. Start there. Okay, because some of you are still believing and behaving like Nehemiah when you are in the Gospel of Romans now. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? So out, and as your pastor, I'm really saying it's New Testament, right? Yes, though you can balance it with the old, because I read both, and both is the wisdom of God, right? But I would say start with the New Testament. If you're starting this tomorrow, start with the New Testament. Okay, start maybe even with the Gospels, right? And then move on to the epistles, and then that's it. So normally, because of how I read, because of the number of verses I read, so I read, maybe I read, like beginning of the year, I finished the New Testament in TPT. Now I'm finishing the New Testament in New King James. When I'm done, I'm finishing the New Testament in NLT. So I just use different translations, but I'm still in the New Testament. You see? Does that make sense? Yeah, I'm just, because of me. So my quiet time can be 5 hours. It's my job just to hear God. So you understand? But if you notice that you have to be clocking in at whatever, you might not have that luxury that I have. But when opportunities come for you to have a prolonged quiet time, take advantage of it. So now you are rehearing God. So now this is the part. When, bring the thing, bring the board and the thing. Let me help you. When you are praying, one of the most important habits that I am enjoying is write your prayers down. Yeah. Write your prayer. How will you know God has answered if you don't? You understand? Write your prayers. Don't touch your neighbor, say, write your prayers down. I'd remove that chair. Write your prayers down. It's very... Write your prayers down. Okay? So come, hold it. So... Clean. So you're doing your quiet time. So that's why you need the journal. You need the... Huh? Because it's serious business, Mos. Organzan?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So you write your prayer down. Maybe who has something that they want to pray? Let me help you. Who has something that they feel like we can hear God? Anybody? Okay, should I relocate or? No, it's a good prayer point, right? What's on your mind? Can I open your praying there? So today is the 10th of January, 2024. And I just have one thing on my mind, Lord. Should I relocate? Relocate. Yeah. So normally, if it's me, I normally like to just multiple choice and make it easy. Huh? Should I relocate? If yes, to where? If, okay, to where? Right? And when? If no, that's fine, or whatever. Or maybe, what should I be doing now? What should I be doing now? You understand? So that was what was on my mind. You see? So it's not just praying, God, open doors and... No. Should I relocate? If yes, to where? If when? To if yes, to where? So you must tell me where I should relocate to. You must tell me when I should relocate. Right? If no, then what should I be doing here? So maybe someone's like, Pastor, I've finished my studies. Should I leave Cape Town? If yes, to where? Which city? If no, then if you're saying I shouldn't leave, what should I then be doing? Do I get a job? Do I start a business? Don't assume just because you graduated, you should look for a job. Should I start a business? What is the business? When do I start the business? So you're praying. Shabra doga zabala dahaya. This is what's on my mind. Limanda satafa. And I'm praying in tongues. And especially us, we pray in tongues. Kebra dos kavatosh kabala. Then now I take my Bible. Because when I pray in tongues, I am quickening my spirit to hear a word from God. Right? I'm quickening my spirit to what? To hear the word of God. So now when God is speaking, now number two, I listen. So after prayer is listen. Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. Oh, I know that I've been rushed to talk out plainly this way to God. I will in my thinking. I like it in Amplified. I will in my thinking. Huh? Stand upon my post of observation. So I'm observing what God is saying to my mind. This is where most Christians want drama. Okay, this is where most Christians want drama. So I will, in my thinking, stand upon my observation post. So it's not standing on a physical post, Bazalwane. I don't want to visit you where you stand, you've got a post, and you say, Pastor, this is Habakkuk. You know? No, it means I'm alert on the inside, from my spirit and in my mind, right? And I station myself on the tower or fortress, right? And will watch to see what you will say within me. What you will say within me, and what answer I will make as the mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him. Then verses 2, it says, and the Lord answered, said, write the vision. So then God says, I'm going to talk to you, but so you need to always have your writing materials. I mean, you're here to hear from God, Musne. Yeah. So let's say, for example, Kabro dos kabala shibra dagazia mazevra dogobala sete. Lord, so where is the answer going to come from? From here or from within? Yes, it must come from within. And then it will filter up to my thinking. Does that make sense? So when it comes from within, this is what I've proven in my walk with God. Anything that God says can be verified with scripture. You might not know the exact verse, but whatever God will tell you will have several scriptures attached to it. You can even make a demand to God, say, can I have two or three scriptures? Because the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established. Hallelujah. So, Mashevredogo Sabakata Vrada Gabala say, hey, Lord, should I go? Sheba Daga Zavrada Gabadaya Balahaya. Is there someone who needs this prayer? Or should we? Is there somebody who needs this prayer answered? Huh? Yeah, so you should take it and go pray. I don't want to give you the answer. Lika brada kashata krata kapato sate. Let me show you something from scripture. It's a good prayer. Yeah. Most people, when it comes to something like this, they miss it on the timing. Should I move to where? Joburg? I'm gone, Pastor. They get to Joburg and it's a big frustration. You understand? Yeah, because you asked, where should I go? God said, there. You should ask him, when? 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 You understand? And you notice that is one struggle after another struggle. You see, God doesn't want... We see when God leads us, he confirms that he led us. That's what Mark 16:20, he confirms the word. Okay? So, should I relocate? If yes, to where? Then God can say, this is, I'm not saying God is saying, relocate to Bizana. So you now write it down. I feel, so now, you sense what's coming to your mind. Shebarak. So you make sure that your mind does not have presumptions. Pastor, how do I deal with assumptions? You write it as your prayer. Should I relocate? If yes, should I relocate? I feel I should relocate to Durban. You write it down so that you are not deceived. So I feel I should relocate to Durban, right? But I'm here, I'm open to you, Lord. If not Durban, then where? Then when? So you get it out. The problem is when you think that God does not want to give you your heart's desires. That's why you don't tell him what is really in your heart. So you tell him, I really want to, personally, Lord, I want to be in Durban. You understand? But I am here to ask, should I move? Is it time? Is it now? If not now, then when? Then where? Now you are sincerely praying to God. Now God can. So you do this before you actually start praying. And then you pray. As you are praying in tongues, the worship is going on. It's in your quiet time. Guess what? If you have put 1 hour quiet time and the 1 hour comes to an end, before you have heard anything, do you know what you do? You do not say God has answered and you fill in the blanks. Come back tomorrow again, Moose. Habakkuk said, I will wait. I will wait and see what he will say. Most Christians think I just have to pray once and go. It's not like that. It's not like that. Especially now, if you are married, you know that you can have several conversations over one thing, right? Yeah, over a period of time. No. Let's talk about this tomorrow again. No. I have a different point of view again. So it's not an overnight thing. So you can pray maybe, but guess what? By the end of the week, then God can speak. Or by the end of the day, that same quiet time. The reason why for some of us it might be a struggle to hear him immediately is because we have not been training to hear. Okay? So we are praying, then guess what? There's a word that keeps coming stronger and stronger. You know, you're praying, it's like it just... No. Lord, should I go? Should I stay? And you just feel this word coming. Bizana. Is it Bizana? Right? Here, Bizana. Bizana. Where the hell is this Bizana, Lord? What is this? Okay. Now, guess what? Now that you have captured Bizana, guess what happens? There's peace. Once you captured, okay, Lord, I'm hearing Bizana. You are writing down, Lord, I'm hearing Bizana. You write it down. Now when you have captured it and it's Bizana, guess what? In your mind, it's like it's settled. Okay. You don't know what's waiting for you in Bizana. Yes. But you know that Bizana is where you should go. Right? Then Libra Dashka Baalazia. Reba, when, Lord? When should I be moving to Bizana? And then the Lord can say, maybe you can feel in your heart Good Friday. So then, is it Good Friday or after Good Friday? So it's after Good Friday. You pray about it. Then after Good Friday, then you have that impression after Good Friday. So you know that you must move to Bizana in April. Because Good Friday, this year is end of March. Okay? God has answered your prayer. Moving to Bizana in April. This is not for anybody. This is just for illustration. I'm not confirming anything. Yeah. You understand? When this is done, what happens to your heart? You are full of joy. There's peace. You don't even know what's happening in Bizana, but all of a sudden there's excitement in your spirit. You see? You don't know anyone in Bizana. You don't even know how you get to Bizana and do what. But all of a sudden, there's just inside you are excited about it. You understand? God has spoken to you. He has answered you about, do I relocate? Okay? If he says no, what should I be doing now? He'll tell you. Continue in what you've been doing. So continue. Or he'll tell you, start. He will tell you whatever he wants to. Now, this is why Christians must not be led by their passion. Your passion is not God's voice. Oh, Pastor, I'm passionate about business. And did God say start a business? Ask him. David was passionate about killing wild beasts, but God didn't say start an army or something like that. Does that make sense? So you write it down on your journal. When the answer comes, you also write it down. Okay? Now, the voice of God, this quiet time, is not only for God to answer our questions. It's also to teach us. This is where we get revelation. You understand? This is where you just erase. So you're reading your... Do it quickly. Let me show you. Okay, so I'm having my quiet time still on the 10th of Jan. And I was reading the book of Romans. All right, let's say I was reading Romans. So I'm writing down what I've been reading to keep track. There must be order. So maybe I'm saying I was reading Romans chapter 1 and chapter 5 because I made a decision this year I must read at least 5 chapters. Right? So in one of the chapters, as you're reading, God gave you a specific word. As you're reading, it's like the verse just jumped out of the pages. It might be the whole verse or just a portion of the verse. Does that make sense? So for example, you're reading maybe Romans chapter 4, and then you find that part that says, and Abraham against hope believed in hope. Against hope he believed. He believed, ne? And that's the part. Against hope, he believes. And guess what? Maybe you are facing a hopeless situation. Now God is talking to you, say that against hope, even if it looks hopeless, continue to believe. That's God talking to you. Does that make sense? That's God what? Talking to you through scripture. That's how you get a word from God, through scripture. Does that make sense? Sometimes God will use illustrations that you can relate with. All right, but this is the most basic. So you write, you begin to, when you, whatever you hear, you begin to write. Write it down. Write down, this is what I feel God is saying. You know, some of us have personal challenges that a word from God, as you are reading the Bible, praying this quiet time, God will speak to you. He'll begin to teach you things. He'll begin to emphasize certain things for you. Does that make sense? Yeah. He brings certain script. So now the beautiful part is this. The more scriptures you know, the more God has to communicate with. Does that make sense? This afternoon I was praying about something and God gave me an array of scriptures. You understand? Different types. About 8 or 9 scriptures that God just dished out to answer one thing. So I know beyond a shadow of doubt concerning that area. Doesn't make sense. So I heard God speaking. Now, you don't only just hear his voice. Sometimes God can come and start, and he can start a whole conversation with you. But basically, the principle is the same. You sense, you pick what he's saying within you, okay? And you write it down. Maybe you're saying, me, I don't like writing down. This is a powerful discipline, okay? If you're to take hearing from God seriously, you must take writing down things seriously. Does that make sense? I would definitely discourage you from bringing your phone into your quiet time because it's easy for you to get distracted. You understand? So when I personally use my gadgets, my iPad, which is what I use, no notifications whatsoever. I've set it up like that. No phone calls, nothing can ever come in when I'm doing that. Or maybe you put your phone on flight mode, you see, and then you can have your quiet time because it's a time where you're reading the word and you're meditating on what God is saying. Then you write down Psalms 45 verses 1, right? My heart is on fire, boiling over with passion. Bubbling up within me are these beautiful lyrics. So it bubbles up. The voice of God bubbles up. Ne? So that's what also the word prophecy comes. It's a bubbling up within you, right? And then you write down. Okay, you write down. So write what you sense God is saying to you. All right, write it down. Okay, write it down. You know, for example, if what Joshua had not written down what God was saying to them, from today I shall begin to magnify you in front of all Israel, we wouldn't have those scriptures. So Joshua wrote down what he sensed God was saying. God is beginning to magnify me. Oh, God is saying I should stop sinning if I love him. You write what you pick. Write what you pick. Yeah, that's when quiet time is where God really works on your character. Yeah, when you are written the quiet time, the Bible comes alive and slaps you and fixes you, corrects you, slices you. Hey, change this attitude. Quiet time is the best, actually. Yeah, quiet time is just the best. You have fun with God. Amen. He tells you what's on your heart. You tell him what's on your heart. Okay? If you don't have any prayer point, just get the worship, love him, and read your Bible, and then you're done. Does that make sense? Yeah, he's going to talk to you. So write down what you believe God is saying to you through the passages of scripture. So you don't have to write for the sake of writing. It's not an everyday thing. So there are days when you feel like, no, I'm not getting anything. Because you see, God is not going to talk to you like a robot. A tick. No, he's not some pratiologist. No. Write what, if you sense in your heart that, no, there's nothing that is being communicated today, that's fine. You just record that, I read my scriptures, I'm feeling, then that's it, you go on your way. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yes, that's what it is. So don't create his voice. Just when it comes, it comes. When it didn't come, it didn't come. Don't create his voice to sound spiritual or to look deep, right? Believe what you're writing. Revelation 1 verses 11, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in your book, all right? Then it says, as you write, you'll find yourself writing the answers to your prayers many times. So when you write, I feel like God is saying I should go to Pizana. That's what you're saying. I remember a certain pastor had his daughter, right? He had his daughter, and the daughter felt like, so the daughter wanted to go to a university. So his daughter stays in Cape Town and wanted to go to a university in Pretoria, right? In what? In Pretoria. So the pastor, the father was a pastor, was preaching in Pretoria, right? As he was preaching in Pretoria, he said to his daughter, let's go together, right? And let's go together so that you can just see the university and then afterwards. When they got there, they met one of the deans there, chatted with the daughter. The daughter, then when they came back. So when he says to the, so then the daughter says to the father, I thought you're going to hear a word from God for me. And then the father's like, no, I'm not. Because when you are at school and you've got assignments due and all these things happening, you will be angry at me. You see, because you didn't hear God for yourself. See, when you go into a battle having had God for yourself, it's totally different. You don't have anyone to insult. You heard. So then he says that, okay, what should I do? Then just write down the same way I've just been teaching you. And so the young lady, she went and she wrote down. And so she was also worried about what's going to happen afterwards. Right, she was worried about what's going to happen afterwards. So she writes down, Lord, I feel like this is what she was writing down. I feel the university in Pretoria is an open door. That's what I feel. I feel like it's an open door. It's a good thing, right? And I feel like when the dean was speaking, it was a very clear voice. This is what she's writing. It was very clear. Because when he was speaking, I just heard God speaking, right? Does that make sense? I feel like it will be the first. Okay, so now she had to be there on the first, right? On the 4th of January. So she writes that I think I have to be there on the 4th of January, which is the first. 4th of the first, right? So Lord, what are you saying? So then what happened was, as she was reading this, I'm not telling the story as perfectly as it is, man. As she was reading this, it then just came into her mind, read Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. Right, so, oh yes, I forgot. The other part was, I feel, so this should have been the first part, right? I feel I should go up. Right, so I'm going up. I'm in Cape Town, which is the southern part. I feel I should go up, right? So as she did that all the way, I'm not telling the story as perfectly. Then she felt in her mind, let me read Revelation chapter 4, verses 1, right? Because she saw this one. She's supposed to start on the 4th of January, the 4th and the 1st. So Revelation chapter 4, verses 1. So what does Revelation chapter 4, verse 1? And after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Open door. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. The dean spoke with a clear voice, right? Saying, come up here. I'm in Cape Town. I'm going up in north, right? And I will show you things which must take place after this. Because she was worried about what will happen afterwards. And then this verse was like, and I'll show you things which must take place after this. Long story short, she went up, even her husband, she met her husband there. He met the God. So the things that should happen after she encountered when she went up. That was God talking. And he just started with her just making a prayer and just be quiet, be still. And then writing down what she senses was God talking. You understand? That's all. She just put everything in perspective, and that was it. We good? Yes. Let me see if there's any other point I should share with you. Right. Now, If you are dealing with a particular issue, find and read scriptures that talk about that issue. Okay? Find scriptures that talk about that issue and God will speak to you. Remember in Luke chapter 4:47, when Jesus was handed down the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when it opened the book, you found the place where it was written. Right? So Luke, if you're dealing with issues of, for example, you're asking, why am I still single, Lord? Why am I still single? Find scriptures that talk about marital issues. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. Instead of just posting on social media, just do something serious with your life. Yeah, sit down. Why am I single, Lord? And you get, because now you tell God, because here I see that, Lord, when you made Adam, you said it is not good for him. You understand what I'm saying to you? You are writing down what you sense is the answer. It is not good for a man to be alone. Lord, I know there's a man who is alone and it's not good. Number two, Lord, when you know, what I'm telling you might be like a joke, but I'm serious. Yes. In the quiet time, God then can tell you that it's your attitude. Yes, because now you're saying, why am I single? You're not just saying, Lord, bring a man. No.
Yes, sir.
Why am I single? God can say it's your attitude. Why am I single? God can say you haven't healed from trauma. Now you know why. And you can do something about it. Okay? All right. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I pray that you have been transformed by the powerful message. Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor Tor podcast. Shalom.